The title is Thanksgiving at All Times. We know that in a few days we'll have Thanksgiving. And we celebrate it basically once a year. But the thought is we need to have Thanksgiving at all times. All times, not just in November, the last Thursday of November, but at all times. And who do we give this Thanksgiving to? God, don't we? We're thankful for other things. We're thankful for our parents and the homes they provide for us and the cars and all this. But ultimately, and above all that, we're thankful to God Himself. And we need to look at why we need to be thankful to God and how to be thankful to God and the effect of our having Thanksgiving in our heart. We want to have an attitude of Thanksgiving. Do you know we don't have to just stop and say, thank you, Lord, yes. But we can thank Him as we go, wherever we go, whatever we do. Do you know, I was thinking in Florida for many years. I lived in Florida. I was married, my husband, and we lived in Florida. And there was a brother in the congregation, Brother Walker. Do you remember Brother Walker?
Yes.
Okay. He would say, from what he would say before he stepped his foot on the floor, he would be thankful. He would be thankful for God to be able to go in the bathroom, take his, prepare for the day. He had that spirit of thanksgiving. And I believe today we want to leave here with the spirit of thanksgiving, with the attitude of thanksgiving. I want us to start with that 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Did you notice that it said in everything? Thanksgiving should be in everything. That's what the Lord, and it said, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I was thinking sometimes a parent may do something really good for a child. You know, Christmas comes, they get lots of gifts, and they're just so thankful. But a few weeks after Christmas, the child may want something else, right? And they might begin to murmur and complain. What happened? Just a few weeks ago, you were all thankful and you were so happy. And now you're complaining? You know, in everything, give thanks. That is an attitude of thanksgiving. We want to change our way of doing things. Not so willing to forget what has been done for us that we begin to murmur, we begin to complain, and we begin to feel bad about this, that, and the other. But when we have things that dark time and discouraging times or things that we don't like so well, let's begin to thank God. Find something to thank Him with. Do you know, if I can see you, I'm looking out of my eyes, I have something to thank God for. Yeah. There are blind people. They can't see. Some may never have been able to see. Mm-hmm. And then I can talk to you, right?
Yes,
I have something to thank God for. I can use my voice. I could be where I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Or my hearing. Or I use my feet. I was able, however good you might think or bad you might think about my walking, I can still walk. And I'm thankful. So we want to have a spirit of thanksgiving. Let's go to Psalms 34 and 1.
Psalms 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth.
When he said, I will bless the Lord, do you know praise and thanksgiving go together? I will bless the Lord at all times. When I'm blessing him and I'm praising him, I'm thankful.
Yeah.
It goes together. It's not separate. I will bless the Lord at all times. Is it raining? Can I bless the Lord? Now, I'm a very cold-natured person, and I really don't like cold weather. I really don't look forward to snow and ice. I don't care how many people love it. I say, you know, you can go on your phone, you can get you a nice picture of snow and enjoy that. But I prefer not to be in it. And yet, I can bless the Lord in that time. What if it wasn't for him, I couldn't even see the snow. I couldn't even feel it. But I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's going to be some times that I'm not going to be so happy about, but I can still bless the Lord at all times. Let's go to Psalms 69 and 30. It's easy to be happy and thankful when things are going good. If I give the girls, take them somewhere and get them stuff they like to eat, we do stuff like that. They're thankful. Thank you, Grandma. They're happy. And we got tacos tonight. Or you got me what I wanted. But then there comes times, can you bless the Lord those times?
Psalm 69 and 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving.
Notice you praising him and you magnifying him with thanksgiving. We had a beautiful song service today. Lots of songs, lots of participation. Don't you know it pleases the Lord for us to sing? I can bless the Lord with a song. I can end with thanksgiving. In those songs, many times those songs of praise, there's thanksgiving about it too. So if you feel down a dreary day, get a songbook and start singing. Get a melody in your heart, because we don't have to go droopy. We don't. It's dreary looking outside, but we don't have to be dreary in here. We can be lifted up. When you feel bad, feel like nobody cares, that's the time to get a song and start singing. Praises unto God. Let's go. I was thinking now, I want us to look at how to thank God when things are not going so good. Because, you know, if I have food and raiment, one scripture say, be therewith content. If I have the things I need, it's easy to be thankful. But what if it's a day I don't have? I want us to look at Job. Job was a good example of being able to bless the Lord in the time of severe adversity. It was no, I got a headache kind of thing, or I stumped my toe kind of thing. It was a severe problem, Job 1:1. And in the midst of that, I want us to read it because we want to see how Job went through some hard times and how he responded to it.
Job 1:1.
We want to read that chapter.
You want to read the whole chapter?
Well, we may skip some of it, but just read one, verse 1, then we'll skip down to 6.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil.
Okay, now it tells he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And we're not going to go over all, but he was rich. He had camels. He had oxen. He had asses. He had a great household, no doubt, servants and all that he needed. He had it. He was not lacking anything. And yet he loved God, he feared God, and he did no wrong. He was against wrong. But, verse 6.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?
Go and read 9.
Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land.
But 11, that's real important.
But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face.
So the Lord told him, everything he has is in thy hand. Just don't, only upon him. Don't put your hand on him. Okay. So Satan went out and he started to doing just that. He wanted to prove that if you take everything he has, he'll curse you to your face. He didn't know what it's like to really have a relationship with God and the effect it has and how it supersedes all of these things. But anyway, let's read now starting at 13.
And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians came, fell upon them and took them away. They have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to kill them.
Keep going. I want to see what happened.
While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels, and they carried them away with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Read on 20. We need to see how he 20 and 21.
Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
I want us to stop and think of what happened to Job. One thing right after another. He lost his whole wealth within just one thing. Before the one thing could finish, the man could finish talking about one thing, it was another. And then he lost all 10 of his children at one time. I want us to think of all of that loss that he had. It's a challenge. Can you or I respond to that kind of loss in the way Job did? It's a challenge. I think I lost one daughter. But to lose all at the same time, all 10. He might could have recovered from losing his wealth. But to lose his children was a great loss. So I was thinking how that we can. And what did he say? He could have cursed God and died. That was foolish. He could have just given up the Lord. He thought it was the Lord that took it away. He didn't even know. We know, but he didn't know that it was the devil doing it. And so he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord has taken away. What did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we be thankful in this kind of time? Can we walk? People would think you crazy. Do you know if all that happened to you, walk around and say, bless the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Other people look, I don't know what's wrong with her. Because they are used to us responding to adversity in a different way. But we can be thankful. We can be thankful in these times. I almost hate to, I was thinking about this message. And it challenged me so, because I remember I was preaching a message on something and that thing happened that day. So we don't know what's going to happen. But we still can bless the name of the Lord. I think about Paul and Silas, Acts 16 and 22. We want to read 22 to 26. We can thank the Lord. We can bless the Lord. It says, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We think about Paul and Silas. They were in the work of the Lord. They were spreading the gospel. But the people were upset with them. And the part that we're going to read is where they were thrown in jail for the gospel's sake, for teaching Jesus. But we want to see how they responded. If you are doing something for God and things don't go so good, maybe people start making fun of you. Maybe people start talking about what you're trying to do for God. And then you get persecuted for it. Can you thank God in the midst of that?
Acts 16 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. How far you want to go?
Up to 26.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
26.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed.
You see, I don't believe that earthquake would have ever existed had they been sitting down saying, "Woe is me. I've been working for the Lord. I've been trying to do his will. And look what happened to me. These stocks hurt. My back hurt from all of those beatings. I don't understand why this happened to me." I don't believe a thing would happen. But what did they do? They, at midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. What a challenge it is to sing praises to God in the midst of hard times. We're going to have hard times. We might as well realize life is not going to be perfect. There are going to be hard times. People are going to talk about you. They're going to do things to you you won't like. But sing praises to God. Have Thanksgiving at all times. Don't wait till just Thanksgiving to be thankful. But be thankful every single day. Let's read now Colossians 3 and 17. One scripture says, be thankful in everything. And one says, be thankful for everything. Now, in the midst of the trouble, if I can thank God, that is good. But if you want to go a step farther, be thankful for everything. Oh, my goodness, I am hurting. Can I thank God for this?
Colossians 3 and 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
In everything. That's in everything. Whatever you're doing, walk around with a thankful heart in your heart, in your mind. Ephesians 5 and 20.
Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Giving thanks always for all things. For. Underline in your mind. For all things. Give thanks to God. Always in all things. For all things. We have a charge. To have. He's charged us to do that. To have thanksgiving. Not only in everything. And at all times. But for all things. We have to recognize God. In the things that happen to us. You know, sometimes we tend to look at the person or at the affliction. And we don't look at God. But if we belong to God and live for Him, everything that affects us comes through Him. Nothing that comes to us is going to go past God. It's going to come through Him. So we recognize God in all things. I remember there's a scripture when David, he said somebody cursed him. And I think one of the guys wanted to retaliate. And he said, no, maybe God had him to curse David. So we need to recognize God in everything. Now, if we don't belong to God, it's not easy to do this. It takes having God in our heart. We have to repent of our sins and be born again. And when we are born again and He's in our heart, He gives us the ability to look at life through His eyes, through His way of looking, through His perspective. I want to move on a little bit because I want us to see what can happen if we don't. You see, when we are thankful, it's because we have appreciation. We appreciate. You know, when you do something for somebody, no matter what you do, maybe a little something, you appreciate the person coming back and thanking you, or at least showing they appreciate it. Sometimes you can do and do and do, and people don't appreciate it. And then it's hard that way. Well, when we are thankful to God, we're showing our appreciation. And so we want to do that. And when we do that, it keeps us from murmuring and complaining. You know, somebody that always complaining and never can be satisfied is because they don't appreciate what's been done for them. Take time to show our appreciation. When somebody does something for us, take time to thank them. Act in a way that shows that you appreciate what they do. I was thinking about the Hebrew children, the Israelites. Some of them missed going to the promised land because of murmuring and complaining. And I believe that if they had this spirit of thanksgiving, they wouldn't have been so quick to forget all the things God did to them. And then God would have blessed them. But no, as soon as they got, he delivered them from bondage, they were under bondage in Egypt, they were having to do such hard labor, and God had mercy, and He wanted to deliver them, and through Moses, He delivered them from Egypt, and then as soon as they got to the Red Sea, they were murmuring and complaining. They complained at the Red Sea. Then they complained when they got tired of God. He would give them manna, and they got tired of the manna, and they started complaining. But God had given them manna to eat, and they were able to walk through that wilderness for all of those years. Their shoes didn't even wear out. But their thanksgiving was lacking. And so, let's go to Numbers. We're going to read some in there. See how these people, if they had been more thankful, if they had had more thanksgiving in their heart, they wouldn't have been so easy to complain. Numbers 14, we're going to read several verses in that. And 1 to 3.
Numbers 14 and 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. If people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?
Look at that. God delivered them by a mighty deliverance from Egypt, from hard taskmasters. And they were crying because of it. And then they get here and they start complaining and saying, we should have died in Egypt. This is the attitude they had. No thanksgiving, no appreciation. Now skip down to read 11 and 12.
And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they.
Well, see, God was tired of their murmuring and complaining. He was ready to get rid of them. But Moses begged God, I don't know if this one, but in one scripture he said, take my life for them. He stood kind of in importuning God and asking God to spare them. Let's go now down to 20 and read 20 to 27.
And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But the servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his feet and possess shall possess it. How far you want to go?
27.
Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and Moses unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me.
So you see, that was a sad state. Some of them did not make it to the promised land. That was they left Egypt with the intention, and with the God's intention was for them to go to the promised land. But they had murmured and complained so much till some of them were not able to go. Caleb was one, I think, Joshua and Caleb. But you see, God is not pleased if we are not thankful. We need to be thankful at all times, and we need to show we appreciate. Have you ever done something for somebody and they just don't appreciate it? Do you know that's how the Lord feels? If he does for us, he gives us life and breath and health and strength and a decent mind, we need to be thankful. We could be laying up in a bed and don't know one day from the other. It's God that does these things for us. So when we're not so happy about the things around us, start looking up. Look at God. Look what he has done and will do. Hold fast to him. Don't let your minds wander and complain and murmur, because God is worthy of it. He's always doing for us as human beings. He clothes us. It's so much. Sometimes we may feel like, oh, you know what? I'm smart. I got this by my own smarts. I went to college. I got an education. And I deserve this. I deserve to have a good job. I deserve this, that, and the other. No, you couldn't even use smarts unless God gave them to you. And he can take them away. I want us to look at Daniel. Daniel, God used Daniel to reveal and interpret the king's dream. But let's look at the attitude he had. Let's go to Daniel 2. And we're going to read verse 19 to 23. So what happened was, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he woke up. The dream disturbed him. And he could not remember the dream. So he had these people that's magicians, soothsayers, and like that. They're supposed to be able to interpret dreams and stuff like that. So he say, but his dream left him. He couldn't remember it. So he goes and he says to, he calls his magicians and he says, I've had a dream. I want you to give me the interpretation. So the men say, fine. In other words, tell us the dream and we will interpret it. And he said, I don't remember my dream. And those, they said, tell us the dream and we will interpret it. He said, he told them again, I don't remember the dream. So you got to tell me the dream and you got to do the interpretation. Well, they got upset and they said, No king and nobody else asked something like that. That is not with men. That's with God. And he said, if you can't tell me my dream and give me the interpretation, then your life is your life and your family and everything. I think. So we start at verse 19, and they came to Daniel because Daniel was one of the wise men. And he asked them, and he said, well, why is the king's command so urgent? In other words, you know. So let's start reading at 19.
Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel.
Okay, I want to get. So he told him, he said, tell him, take me to him. And I will, if he give me time, I'll interpret it. I'll tell you. So he took him to Nebuchadnezzar. This was the messenger. And he told him, you know, I will tell you the interpretation. Give me the time. So he goes back. He has three friends that, we call them Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, but they are actually, they have some Babylonian names. And he told them, and he wanted them, that we're going to pray and ask God to give us the interpretation. So the Lord revealed to Daniel in the night's vision the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Now, Daniel could have had an attitude. You know, God, he's good to me. Or he could have had the attitude, I'm smart, you know. And that kind of, but he didn't. And here's where we start the scriptures, where he is thankful for God's doing that to him.
Daniel 2:20. Daniel actually said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the time and season. He removes kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth within him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter.
Do you see what this is? He didn't take any praise of his own at all. He didn't think of himself as being capable. He knew it all belonged to God. If you have, or I have, any abilities, it comes from God. And that's who we should give thanks to. Not thinking we are so much, we are nothing. You see here, if I could just do that and get dust, that's what we are. Dust. That's all. And so we have a great God that we need to be thankful for. Amen. Above all the things that we need to be thankful for, we need to be thankful for God's love. His love that he has for each and every one of us. Name by name, we could walk. I could say you and 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 me. His love covers all humanity. And so in John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life.
God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
There you go. And do you know he sent his Son to die for you and for me? Yes. That is enough to thank God for. Yes. And so we wanted the last scripture, Revelation 3:20-22.
Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will open in to him and will sup with him and eat with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches.
Okay, so we don't want to just say thank you. We want to show our thanksgiving to God. But when he knocks at our hearts, opening the door and letting him in, yes, that's how we show our thanks to him. Pray for me.